Okay, so welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Audio Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today, as ever, is Fraser McInnes.
Hi there.
Hello. Speaking from Berlin, as always. We're just discussing before how the weather is going to become incredibly grim in a couple of months.
I'm from Scotland, though, so, I mean, it shouldn't be too bad. But, well, no, I say that just to sort of comfort myself. I think it's going to be pretty much horrendous. It's going to be like an all-new circle of hell, a new form of torment that I've never come across before. But, yeah.
A very cold hell.
I'll put up with it. I'll get one of those big Soviet coats from the market.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do. Here's my tip, just for you, Fraser, but for everyone listening. Uh-huh. During the winter, just get a hot water bottle and just fill it up all the time and just walk around with it, kind of clutched to your stomach.
That sounds homey. I'd like that.
It's great. I've been doing it for probably about 12 years now, every winter. It's already started this year. I'm already doing it. I work from home, so it's quite easy. If you walk around the office, it's a bit odd. But you just fill it up. You sit with it. It sits on your lap. You kind of... It's nice because at first it's too hot. So you have this kind of dance with it, like a dance of seduction. It sits on your knee, then you go, oh, and you take it off. And then you go, you can't put it on your feet. You think, maybe I'll put some slippers and socks on and put it on my feet. You do that. That's fine. Then it cools down. And as it cools down, it kind of works its way through the layers of your clothes until eventually you've got it under your T-shirt, right against your chest. Then eventually it goes too cold and you have to refill it.
That sounds awesome, I have to say. I'm going to definitely do that. It sounds like the most ridiculous kind of indulgent comfort imaginable, pretty much. But there's a chance that you might get a bit hooked. And then when you go outside, you'll be like, oh, I need my hot water bottle with me. It's too cold. And then you have to walk around with this sort of paunch.
Yeah, you're quite right. That does happen. if I have to go out, because I have to leave my house and go up the stairs to speak to the postman if he knocks on the door. I'll have it jammed up there. I don't mind. I'll walk around with it. You do feel a bit forlorn when you don't have it because you spend so long with it that it's like, you know, when kids have to have, you know, raising a baby, have to do a raising a baby project and they kind of have to look after a bag of sugar.
Yeah.
And you get quite attached to it. It's a bit like that.
You
get attached to it, but it's well worth it. What I realized is in the winter, you know, you put the heating on in your house and there are these kind of points all around your house that are generating heat and projecting it. But with the hot water bottle, you don't need that. Because you've got one source of heat and it's against your body and the rest of the whole house can be cold because the only thing that needs to be hot is hot. How would you say it? Heiß Wasser? Flasher? Wouldn't be Flasher, would it? Well, that's bottle.
Yeah, it is Flasher. Flasher is bottle. Yeah, so Heiße Flasher. I don't know. Heizung Flasher, radiator bottle. Could have that instead.
That's good. I like it. We've dealt with that topic. Let's talk about iPhone news. Things have been happening.
Okay, so, as
you'll no doubt be gathering if you're listening to this, the podcast is getting later and later every week, which is good. I think from now on, though, we're going to try and publish it on Friday. I think Friday is a good day for a podcast. Then you can listen to it on the weekend while you're doing your ironing. And it's good this week because it means that we get to talk about what happened last night, which is the iTunes event.
Yeah, timed that well.
Yeah, we did. So lots of things came out of that. Most notably, there's a new iPod Touch, which everybody kind of expected to come. It's probably been in the rumor mine.
God, I'd be very surprised if it hasn't. Almost everything's been in the rumor mine.
Yeah, to its shame.
Yeah.
So here it is. We've got the iPod Touch 3GS, as it were. It's available now, and it's much more powerful than the old iPod Touch.
Is it available now? Could I literally leave the house and go to a popular electronics supermarket and buy one?
I think, well, maybe just in America, but I'm reading Tracy's story about it, and it says, available immediately, 32GB and 64GB iPod Touch devices join the previous 8 and 16GB variations.
Right.
So there they are. So more storage, the more powerful, and... they don't have a camera, which people expected them to. So that's the interesting thing about it.
Yeah, that's the big shock, isn't it? That was a sort of everyone kind of thought it was a given that it was going to have a camera. I'm kind of glad it doesn't, to be honest, though.
Well, you are, but let's hear from a reader, a Pocket Gamer reader. I'll read. I'm going to assume he's from which country? I don't know. England.
Let's just pick one.
Okay.
Burkina Faso.
I don't want to do it. I was going to do his accent, but I'm not going to, in case I come across as a bit racist.
Okay.
So I'm going to read what he said. But I'll try and inject it with the passion that he's...
Bring your usual drama, Rob.
Yeah, okay. Okay. His name is What The Hell, and he wrote this yesterday. Apple, you suck. I hate you. And you can shove your third gen, not really a whole new generation, though, is it? I've been waiting for this for 3 months, and you were the biggest letdown ever. I will never buy an Apple product again, and I'm getting rid of anything Apple that I own, software included. You screwed this one up, didn't you, Apple? So
have you ever auditioned for any extras work?
No, I haven't.
You ought to. I think you're a shoo-in for the next Harry Potter movie.
Oh, good. I think they're filming it already, though.
All right, okay.
Turn up. So, yeah, get rid of that. Dumbledore's dead, isn't he? I'll do that. Need a new head wizard.
I have to say, I mean, isn't it sort of a given that if you get rid of all your Apple products, you have to get rid of the software too? Otherwise, you've just got the software just lying around. You know,
just hovering in the air.
Yeah. And another thing as well, he invites Apple to shove it, but he doesn't specify where. He forgets to say up your ass. Or down your throat, or anything like that. So. This is a turning into a character assassination. He cares, sure. He's passionate. That's clear.
And he cares about the fact that there's no camera. I mean, other people have made similar comments. Henry, in a much more level tone, has said, "No camera on iPod Touch. That totally sucks." And the 8 gigabyte one seems nothing new. There's some disappointment.
Some disappointment, but you know, I'll explain why I'm not bothered about the absence of a camera. I'm not bothered about the absence of a camera on the iPod Touch in exactly the same way that I am not bothered by the absence of a camera on the PSP and all of its various different hardware incarnations. Because these things are games machines, and I am yet to see a single game that really makes use of a camera in a meaningful way that would make me want to buy software repeatedly for it rather than just one title. The DSi, fair enough, I'm sure it's got a couple of bits and pieces that are quite fun, but it's not a sort of, it's not an interface or a hardware element that's going to make me go out and buy 7 or 8 games based around camera-based games. I want my games machines to not be too frilly. And the iPod Touch has got enough going for it already without adding that to the mix. So I'm quite happy that they're going to keep the hardware price down by leaving that off and keeping it more focused as a games machine, which very much seems to be the case with that device now. And that's good, I think.
Yeah, it's good for us.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that news. We pretend it's exciting, but it's not massively exciting, is it? It's just the new iPod Touch that's slightly more powerful. Off the back of that, the other thing that was announced was a new software version, OS 3.1. And this costs $5 or £3 instead of $10 and £6. I paid £6 to update my iPod Touch to OS 3.0. Bitterly, I wasn't happy about doing it. So now it's half the price, and I'm bitter about that too, to be frank. I hate it when I buy something and then the price of it comes down and subsequent consumers can get it cheaper than I did. But in any case, OS 3.1 is now out, and it has all kinds of interesting functionality that Spanner's been writing about this morning. Mainly to do with you can kind of do things on your home screen through iTunes on your computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently. So if that interests you, then there you go. You can do that now.
Yeah, I've downloaded the new iTunes and the new software, but I've not really had a chance to fiddle about with it yet.
Cool. So those are the megatons.
The megatons, indeed. Yeah, that's it. We've blown our load. We've got nothing left. Well, no, that's not true. Yeah. We've got loads, actually.
So there's that, the Apple bombshell. But I think even more interesting than that, and the story that kind of surprisingly, in my opinion, has got people interested, is the saga of the Commodore 64 emulator application, which is by Manomio. It spent a long time. Initially, Manomio kind of told everybody about it, and they submitted it to Apple, and Apple wasn't happy with it because it contains BASIC and it allows users to, I don't know, do something clever to do with programming and to access things on the iPhone or the iPod Touch that Apple doesn't want them to access. So this went on for quite a while, and then eventually, a couple of weeks ago, Manomio got in touch with everybody to say, well, we've been speaking with Apple and we've submitted it, and it's looking really good this time. And true enough, last weekend, the Commodore 64 emulator actually did appear on the App Store, and everybody said, ooh, that's nice. And then this week, it disappeared again. So it was up for a couple of days, and some users found a way to kind of get into the basic, you know, exploiting some kind of hack.
And, there's always one, again. Eh? Always one who ruins it for everyone else.
Yeah. So Manomio, they no longer have that application. But when they did have it up, they were forecasting it to sell really well. And now it's not going to be able to.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Manomio bounced back a second time with this, though. They've kind of been pretty determined to get it out there in the first place, and have kind of gone through hell and high tide to try and get it onto the App Store. So I'd be surprised if they gave up now, even with Apple saying, no, you can't do this.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, they have resubmitted it, so it's back in the process.
Right. Okay.
The question mark, the intrigue, the human story here is really about whether Manomio knew that they were kind of breaking the rules when they submitted it.
Okay.
One can only ever speculate, but I guess from their point of view, they acted in good faith and they put the app in for consideration. But, you know, some people might suggest that they were aware that it probably wasn't going to get approved, or it was breaking the rules, and they were just hoping nobody noticed. And unfortunately, somebody did. So there you go. That's an interesting story. It rocketed up our charts on the right-hand side of Pocket Gamer. There's a bit called Popular Stories, and it rocketed up to the top of that. It's one of the most popular stories we've run in quite a long time, which... I don't know. It surprises me, to be honest. I didn't think people were that interested in Commodore 64 emulators. I thought that generation had basically died out, like people who fought in World War One. Apparently not.
Yeah, people who left Dizzy to go to the front line and fight Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's strange. I find it odd as well, slightly. I think probably because I wasn't really... it was always just kind of something that I heard about from the elder brothers of friends of mine at the time, rather than actually experience firsthand for myself. But the evidence of its popularity on Pocket Gamer is no doubt translates into its popularity on the whole on the App Store as well. And I reckon it's probably done quite well in the short time that it was out, and it will continue to do well if they manage to get it back out there.
Yeah, no, it did do well. It's charting.
Yeah.
There are lots of. I think what that suggests about the iPhone is there's a lot of older people around my age. I hate saying older, but people around my age who own these devices.
Yeah.
Maybe because younger people can't afford them. Who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not cheap, an iPod, and the average gamer age now is what, 30, 35, as opposed to 17.
There you go. There's that story. Let's pick up the pace.
Let's pick up the pace.
What else have we got? We've got
iPhone getting we need to do this properly. The iPhone is getting a Halo killer. Thank you. Right on cue. I didn't even have to do much prompting. That was awesome.
Yeah, so a Halo killer, and it's called Nova.
Nova.
And a bit, there's some confusion about how the title is. Is it n.o.v.a?
I hope not, because that's an absolute bastard to type every time you have to write up a story about it or something.
So I know, I hate it.
Yeah.
I tend to put my foot down and just not do it, but yeah. There you go.
Yeah. The worst one ever is if Stalker, and I think there was a mobile version of that. That was just a nightmare. Yeah. So Stalker, spelt like that with dots in between, then colon, the shadow of Chernobyl. Who can be bothered with that? Seriously.
It's a hell of a lot of punctuation.
It is. There's just too much admin involved.
That's what copy and paste was for, though.
Yeah.
I found that saved me. Nova multiplayer. It's Nova. A very, very swanky looking.
Very
first person shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. That short video that they did, the short video demonstration at the event yesterday, very, very impressive looking. Really nice kind of thick jungles and but like sort of interspersed with sections where it looked like there was more of an open playing field as well. So yeah, it looked very good. And it was being controlled live by a chap there on stage, and the controls didn't look jittery at all. They looked really nice and smooth. So yeah, I think there's a bit of debate going on at the moment as to whether or not that was being played on a 3GS or maybe even on a third generation iPod Touch, as opposed to the hardware that most of us are all playing our iPhone games on. But I suppose we'll never know. But it'd be interesting to see if Gameloft was kind of releasing a high-end game that's going to be more suited to being played on one of the higher-end Apple handhelds.
Yeah, I suspect it probably was being played on a 3GS. Because you would, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're showing something off, you'd use the most powerful device. Gameloft, though, they're releasing a lot of games, aren't they?
It's
absolutely ridiculous.
The thing about Gameloft as well is that you don't tend to hear about the games until maybe about 2 weeks before they're released, at the most. So it just seems to be this constant stream. You're never waiting very long after you hear about something until it's released.
And they're not churning out little 59p games either. I mean, they're kind of big polished productions.
Yeah,
one after the other. It's amazing.
They must have loads of stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. The Blades of Fury is another one.
That's their kind of that's their Soul Calibur killer.
Yeah, that's the thing about Gameloft, is they do tend to they're never the first ones down the path, are they?
No, as you put it the other week, they flirt with copyright infringement.
Yeah, they do, but it all in you all good natured,
absolutely
fun. So they've had a GTA clone, they've had a Soul Calibur clone, they've had a Medal of Honor / Call of Duty clone, and now they've got a Halo clone coming out. It looks very good. It's got voice chat, it's multiplayer over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. And you can talk to people while you're playing. It looks incredibly good. So what else? That's coming. Carjack Streets 2 is coming, and it's going to be a full 3D affair on iPhone. Perhaps something like Gangstar, another Gameloft game, GTA clone. So that's coming. That's looking good. Assassin's Creed 2. Is that Gameloft again?
They certainly did the first one, I think, or they certainly did the mobile version. I can't remember if they did the iPhone version. I think they did. Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, they did. Because they did the DS version as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's another one that's coming. Assassin's Creed 2. Look forward to that. We've also got Blades of Fury. Just came out and has been reviewed. Actually, the review. I won't say the score. It's in our back end, waiting to go live. As the vicar said to the housewife, and that's it. And there's one more game that's kind of been seriously affecting productivity in Pocket Gamer Towers called Cannibalt.
Oh my god! Don't even get me started. Really, in fact, don't, because I'll just actually end the podcast now to go and play it.
Well, I'll talk about it briefly. Although I think you know more about it. I think your score is slightly better than mine.
Yeah.
But also
be aware that you're robbing me of the opportunity to talk about what I've been playing in the What We've Been Playing section. But that's okay. I'm happy to talk about it twice.
We'll just leave it there. We'll say a game by the name of Cannibalt has been announced for iPod Touch and iPhone. Yeah. Okay. Draw a line under
that. Strap line, and it is awesome.
Yeah. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, you know, the news is my favorite bit, I've heard enough now, I don't need to hear any more, I'm going to stop listening to this podcast and go and do something else, don't do that.
No.
That would be foolish.
Don't do that.
Because we're going to tell you about Cannibalt later on. How's that for a teaser?
Yeah, we're dangling the carrot. The Cannibalt carrot.
Let's move out of news then.
Yeah, I think we've done enough.
Yeah, we'll leave the newsroom. We've picked up our jackets.
We've put our trousers back on.
Yeah, we're on our way down the steps out of the newsroom. We're out blinking in the sunshine. We're thinking, where do we go next? We're looking around, thinking, what do we do? And then it hits us.
And it hits us.
Realization.
Rumor. Going down, down, down. Rimmer.
Jesus. Here again.
Yeah. So,
you can barely summon the energy to speak.
Yeah. It's just, so once again, rumors is probably a generous term for what we're about to start talking about.
Yeah, this is a new and unique form of rumor that's never really been. You won't find this definition in the dictionary.
No. But basically, one of them is a proper rumor. Probably the least exciting, as ever, the least exciting one is a proper rumour. Let's get that out of the way first.
Okay.
Sonic, I mean, this isn't a rumour in the sense that it's true. Sonic, a 2D version of Sonic, is definitely coming out next year and on a range of platforms. I guess the rumour, therefore, would be it's going to come out on iPhone.
Yep, that's it. I mean, it's a rumour in so much as we've pretty much just blindly speculated that it's going to be coming out on the iPhone, but it's not unlikely. There's been a few Sonic games out already on the iPhone, and I'd love to see it there because, you know, platforming, 2D platforming works very well on the iPhone. And Sonic has kind of languished in the doldrums for far too long. It's about time he got a decent new 2D outing.
He's been languishing since about 1992.
Yeah. Yeah,
since, basically,
since
came
Sonic
out.
And Knuckles, I think.
Yeah, Knuckles. That's a rude sounding title to me. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So probability rating?
I'd say a good, strong, assured 3.5 out of 10.
Okay, good. That's not bad.
Yeah.
So what else have we got? Here's a rumor.
Go on.
This one is utterly has no relationship with the world at all. But we now know that there's going to be a 3GS equivalent of the iPod Touch coming out, which means that both iPod Touch and iPhone users will you know have access to that power if they buy those devices. Which leads us to speculate that the premium section that has long been talked about is going to come.
We've prophesied this several times before, I think. I think probably first of all when we heard about the 3.0 software, then again when the 3GS came out, and now again that the third generation iPod Touch comes out. But you know
what else? Well, we can't get out quite yet because we need to briefly mention
Jesus,
the iPod
really?
Touch.
Will this torment never end?
It's yeah,
we
end
do have
quickly.
One more, don't we? It's the another pricing related rumor, and that the price for the iPod Touch 8GB has been dropped by $50 in the US from $249 to $199. And there has been no equivalent price drop announced for the UK. So the rumour is that the iPod Touch 8GB is going to be reduced to $599 by the end of the week. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a rumour.
There may be elements of that rumour that aren't entirely accurate, but the general gist is there.
Well, that's why they're rumours.
Yeah.
Let's backtrack a bit. Let's give a rumour rating to the 3GS premium section.
All right, yeah, okay. I'll let you give that one the rating.
Probability rating. 1.2 out of 10.
1.2, wow. That's a contender, if not necessarily a front runner.
For the least probable rumour ever.
Yeah, but the things are kind of reversed in the rumour mind, though. Because, you know, our rumours are made up anyway. So to even give them a probability rating at all is to lend them a sort of grandeur that they don't deserve. And ourselves.
You're right. in the way that Richard Dawkins refuses to have debates with creationists anymore.
Yeah.
Because he says gives them to just to even be in the room with him gives them a credibility that they don't deserve. In that way, us giving these probability ratings is all wrong.
Exactly.
So what about these prices? So iPod Touch, they've had US price cuts. The rumour is they'll also be reduced in price in the UK. Rumour rating?
I'm going to give that one a higher rating. I'm going to go as far as to give that a 3.75.
I even think you're being harsh. I think it maybe even deserves something
closer to a 3.9?
Yeah, I'd say somewhere between. Somewhere between 3.86 and 3.89.
Okay.
About that. I mean, you know. So those are the rumours.
Those are the rumours. Shall we get out?
Yes.
Get while the going's good?
Yes, please.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
Whoops, about to slip down.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I'm too determined not to go back in there. I'm not going back. Yeah, because now we get to talk about what we've been playing.
Yes. So,
and we should go with me first because we've teased what you're going to be playing.
Yeah.
And if you tell them, then they won't listen to what I've been playing because they'll just be spent.
They'll be spellbound by my gushing praise. But anyway, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a game called Big Top 10, which has been around for a while.
Ooh, why does that ring a bell?
We were talking about it in Skype briefly the other day, but it has been around for a while, and it would have been quite prominent a few months ago.
Yeah.
But I'm putting together a feature of the best 59p games on the App Store, and this is one of the ones that was recommended to me, so I downloaded it just to check it out. And it's brilliant. The purpose of the game is to, you have a grid of numbers between 0 and 9, and you have to add them up to 10. And every time so what you do is you kind of drag your finger across a range of numbers, and then when they add up to 10, then bingo. Those numbers disappear, and you get some points and a bit of extra time added onto the clock. There are minus numbers in there. So if, for example, if you touch a 3 and then you move your finger across to a minus 3, then you're back to 0. I just picked that because that's the simplest possible sum.
And that's
basically it. You just do that, try and get tens. And the longer the strings are, the more points you get. And there are like bombs which clear away a section of the screen. You get points for that. And also, it makes new things appear, so it increases your chances of exciting things happening. You get clocks that stop the clock ticking down. And it's very fun. What it reminds me of, the playing experience reminds me very much of Word Foo.
Oh, really?
Which is a game in which you have a selection of letters. You know this, I'm just explaining this to the readers. You know it because you have in the past bragged about how your score is higher than mine. In a quite unnecessary fashion.
It's necessary, definitely.
But the experience is very similar. What you're doing is in Word Foo and in this, you're trying to make the tens, and in Word Foo you're trying to make the numbers, and your clock's always ticking down, and you're constantly struggling to add extra little bits of time to the clock, and so there's this constant pressure on you. It really is. It's like a number version of Word Foo.
And that's a great description. I'm definitely going to get it now. I wasn't, because I think you've talked about this before, and I wasn't entirely sold. And I have actually mentioned it briefly as well on the App Store, but a number version of Word Foo, I'm all about that. That sounds good.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I like it. So, that's the highly addictive game I've been playing. I've also had a go of Doodle Jump, another go of Doodle Jump. That's all right. And I'm still playing Orbital an awful lot. That's the game of the week. Yet again, it's brilliant.
Okay.
So get Orbital if you haven't already. And that's me. That's pretty much all I've been playing this week. Okay. What have you been playing, Fraser?
I have been playing Cannibalt, which our news hound Spanner brought to my attention early one morning, which was a mistake because I then spent pretty much all of my time until shortly after lunchtime playing it. It's not out yet. The reason I got to play it and the reason that you'll all be able to play it is because the developer has released a little flash version of it that you can play online. And the basic premise is it's a side-scrolling 2D platformer of sorts where the screen scrolls automatically and you play this little character so the only control that you have because the screen scrolls automatically is jump. And there are various obstacles that get in your way. Such as boxes, and you have to leap between buildings, and you have to generally just kind of avoid anything that will stop your momentum passing from left to right. And as you pass from left to right, it gets quicker and quicker and quicker, and hence more difficult to time the jumps expertly in order to avoid the obstacles. And it's just the most horribly addictive thing I think I've played in a long, long time. My score isn't terribly good, but I mean, the game is scored in terms of how far you manage to travel before you hit an obstacle and come a cropper. And the other brilliant thing about the game is its presentation. It's one of those games where even if it had been released on the Commodore 64 or some other console of yesteryear, it would be just as good today as it was back then. But which is why it's so brilliant. And it's such a it's not a fresh concept. It's a concept that's so plainly obvious that it's a miracle that nobody's thought of it sooner. And it's I think very likely to become a genre in and of itself. There's going to be a lot of imitators out there. But one of the things that makes Cannibal so good is its presentation. It's got this delicious sort of retro style. And in the background, it's kind of got like this sort of disaster day kind of feeling where there's really kind of frantic music. And then in the background, you can see these huge kind of like four-legged robots destroying the city. And often whilst you're running along, you'll crash through windows and such like, which is... got great sort of dramatic effect, and it's just really, really beautifully put together. And yeah, I suppose it's kind of like a cross. It reminds me a little bit of N Plus in terms of the way in which the character handles, but you don't have anything like as much control over it. And yeah, I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend you seek out the story that Spanner wrote about it on Pocket Gamer. Find the link to the Flash version, clear your schedule of a couple of hours and just go there and play it, because it's brilliant.
It's very good. The address, if you want to go straight there, is http://  adamatomic, just as it sounds, adamatomic.com/ cannabalt, cannabalt. Yes. And go there and lose some time.
Yes, do. For the game. Do. And I'm not exactly sure. Did you? When is it coming out on the iPhone?
I'm not sure. Let's have a look. Let's have a look on the site, shall we? This polished operation that we've got going here. Cannibalt. That's my filler music. Cannibalt. It's loading. Cannibalt. 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 It's loading. No, it doesn't say.
No time
it's
yet.
It's just coming. Okay. Coming. It's coming. It'll be here soon.
Hopefully soon. Yeah. Hopefully soon.
I'm going to say it's probably in for approval, so maybe in the next couple of weeks, it tends to be how it works.
You may not hear me on the podcast again after it comes out, because I will probably become unemployed, because I'll just play it all the time. That might not last forever, and I'll regain a healthy, fully featured life once more. I'm sure that I'll slip into a dangerous bout of an action for a time.
I think you'll become addicted to it. And then how you'll meet your end is you'll reenact it. So you'll be found, you'll be discovered running across the rooftops of Berlin, smashing through windows.
And tumbling over boxes.
And then on your gravestone it'll say, Fraser was vaporized at 4,200 meters, which is your record, and you'll be very pleased with that.
That would be awesome, yeah. Just have my effigy can just be my high score. That'd be perfect. Yeah,
that would be good. So those are the games we've been playing. So we're coming to the end.
We're coming to the end. Yeah. So which brings me around, I suppose, to this competition that we have every week, the musical competition, where we play a piece of music that is in some way related, tangentially or otherwise, to iPhone gaming, and you write in with the answer, and in exchange for that answer, we give the first person to write in a £5 iTunes gift voucher. Last week we played a song, and we got the point of last week's song was not the title of the song or the artist that recorded the song, but the relation, the relevance, why the song was being played, what it had to do with iPhone gaming. And we got a brilliant answer, an incorrect answer, but a brilliant answer nonetheless, from a chap called Torbjorn Kamblad.
Sounds like someone from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds like Slarty Barkfast or what's the other chap's name?
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Zaphod Beeblebrox. I'm trying to think of Arthur, not Prefect. What's his first name?
Ford Prefect.
Ford Prefect. Yeah, that's the one. it's got that sort of ring to it. So perhaps this chap is also from the Beltegeuse region, as Ford Prefect is. But it's probably more likely that he's from Scandinavia. Anyway, Torbjörn's answer was Podcast 35 Sound, Nelly Furtado, Maneater. Maneater is a 2D platform game developed and published by Project Support Engineering, which was released in 1975. That is the only connection I found. Well, it's a great connection, but it's not the right one, sadly. But what you do now know is that the song is, in fact, Nelly Furtado. Sorry, no, that's incorrect. The song was performed by Nelly Furtado, and the song's title was Maneater. But there's another connection, and it's a musical connection. And it's related specifically to an iPhone game that we talked about in last week's podcast. And if that's not a big enough hint, go and use Wikipedia and look up the song Maneater by Nelly Furtado, and I'm sure you'll be able to find a relevant hint there. So yeah, no winner, but do write in to fraser@pocketgamer.co.uk, and the first person to write in with the correct connection will get a £5 iTunes gift voucher.
Absolutely. Yeah, so there you go. Do that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yes, so here we are. We're getting to the end. We're going to do two things. We're going to do a shout-out, and we're going to announce a celebrity guest for next week. Okay. So the shout-out goes to two new Pocket Gamer team members just started this week for us. There are interns. They are Tom and Ben. So big shout-out to Tom and Ben. Welcome aboard. They're thoroughly good chaps. And the celebrity guest. This is our first ever celebrity guest, except when we had Stuart Dredge on.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, do you reckon? Do you think Joao's celebrity credentials are more potent than Stuart's?
Depends who you are. If you're a businessman working in the mobile industry, then there is no greater journalistic celebrity than Stuart Dredge.
Yeah.
But if you're just someone who's interested in the world of video games generally, then next week's celebrity guest, João Diniz Sanchez, former editor of Edge magazine, the industry Bible, is surely the greatest celebrity possible. So
you forgot to mention ex-go-kart world champion as well.
Yeah. I don't know if that's confirmed. I know he used to go on a go-kart. I don't know if he was actually the world champion, but he has written
I thought he was. Well, we can ask him next week.
Maybe. Yeah, he'll be on next week to tell us all about his go-karting achievements and also about his new book. So, yeah, we can look forward to that.
Yep. We've done.
So, so that's it. Once again, we come to the end. I always kind of crash into the end of the podcast. I get there and I think, where am I? What do I do now? It's like I've just been running and then I've suddenly stopped and I'm catching my breath and thinking, what happens now?
Yeah, and then you realise that you've stopped where you don't live and you've got a long run home.
Oh, I'd probably just die if that happened. If I was actually running, I'd just choose to die. Anyway, yes, go to pocketgamer.co.uk and you can read our writings. You can read about the Commodore 64 emulator saga, and you can read about the new Apple products that have come out. Give us a rating on iTunes and respond to Fraser's competition and you could win something nice.
Yes.
Yes, and I think that's it. So until next week with our celebrity guest, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.